big rains last night, but China's buying the farm. Row crops are green, wheat was red, so where do we go from here?
Live from the garden spot of the known universe, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Sherwin Newland. And right after the news from Blue Line Futures, Oliver Slope. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, filling in for Chip from Zaner Ag Hedge, Tenacious Ted Seifert!
Man, you keep coming up with good ones. That's fantastic. And it's Sherman, like the dog in Mr. Peabody. Yeah.
What did I say?
Right? Is that what that's from? Anyways, talking to Sherman today, looking forward to that. Yes, yes. But
it'll be good stuff.
Hey, man, how are you today? Did you get some rains yesterday, end up coming down for you or not?
I think maybe just a little. I think it actually technically measures out to an immeasurable amount is what it would be. But skies are clear. Definitely a cooler pattern, though. I've got the windows wide open in the house today. Nice. It feels fantastic. There's a lovely breeze. That birds are chirping. Yeah. Sun is shining, baby. What do you got going over there in, you're say, north of Chicago a little bit? Out in the burbs?
Yeah, I'm actually down in the office today, so I'm in the loop. But yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yes. So yeah, yesterday, got done with the show, and then I had a tennis match. I've picked up the game of tennis, by the way, Davis. So if you're ever in the neighborhood and you'd like to get some tennis in, just let me know. But I went to my 4 o'clock match that I was supposed to have, and Sky's like 32 years old, and I've been kind of nervous about it all week because he's gonna kick my butt. And right as the match was starting, you're supposed to start, the rain started. Wind started to blow. Everything started to get kind of really dark. Yes. And then that was it. So I managed to avoid my butt kicking, I suppose.
Okay.
And,
So has it been postponed?
At least for now. Yes, it's been postponed. But no, we got, I'd say, a little over an inch of rain last night. So it was good, man. We've gotten a lot of rain in the last 5 days or so. And on top of all that, I mean, look, I was thinking, okay, wow, that's not good. We're going to see row crops down pretty hard tomorrow and whatever.
Yeah.
But man, we had some green on the board today. Not so much in wheat. And so, Wheat Wednesday was Wheat Wednesday. This is Row Crop Thursday, I suppose. And livestock too. But yeah, good to see some green on the board despite getting big rain totals on July 15th. I don't know if I can remember the last time we had that scenario, but we've got some very interesting things going on. So, I have a feeling you're going to talk about a lot of those things in the news here. Why don't you go ahead and give us what we need, buddy?
Sure thing. Well, after exhibiting mixed trade overnight, wheat futures plunged throughout the day's session. Futures were subject to a round of profit-taking today and a degree of spread unwinding between itself and corn futures. This as wheat export sales in the weekend of July 9 exploded to a marketing year high at 764,000 metric tons, with China accounting for nearly half of those sales. Exports during the report week were 23% above the previous four-week average. September hard red winter wheat fell a dime and three quarters to 448 and three quarters. September soft red softened 15 and a half cents to 535 and a quarter. September spring wheat fell 11 and three quarters to 516 even. Decent sales there. Marketing year high at 764,000 metric tons. And wheat takes it on the chin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And listen, I mean, we knew a lot of those. We knew that number was going to be big because we knew China had some big numbers in there. I guess the concern is what happens if China doesn't come in and buy next week. That would leave us with a fairly disappointing export sales number. And as we were talking about yesterday, wheat ran right into a very major area of resistance. I was expecting to see a little bit of a pullback. We got that today. Now the question is going to be, where do we go from here?
Right. Well, corn futures were on the winning end of corn and wheat spread trade today. Export sales were solid during the report week at 981,000 tons of old crop and 655,000 metric tons of new crop corn. China was the lead buyer for both. Buying interest was limited by non-threatening weather forecasts for much of the Corn Belt as pollination gets underway. September corn futures were 4 cents higher, but 330 and a quarter. December corn was 3.5 cents higher, 337 and a half. March corn closed at 347 and three quarters, up 3.25 cents today. Ted, question. China's in here buying like crazy. Like you said in the intro, buying the farm. Like literally, actually buying the farm. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. What do they know that's coming up? I mean, there's been all this tension. Trump said this morning he wants to back away from the tension, but maybe I'm just being ridiculous.
Yeah, no, like you said, and like we were kind of talking about yesterday, I think this is a huge vote of confidence from China saying that, hey, we don't really think there's a whole lot of downside potential in corn in particular, but also, you know, they bought some wheat and they bought some soybeans. China is a very savvy country. They are price motivated. So when they're buying, they're not doing it for political reasons. They're doing it because they think the price is right. And for them to be doing it this time of year with all the rain that we just saw, wow. I think that's a really positive thing when we start talking about corn.
Outstanding. Well, soybean futures built on yesterday's gains. This as USDA announced another daily sale to China to the tune of 522,000 metric tons. The agency also reported an unknown buyer purchased 351,000 metric tons for delivery in this and the next marketing years. In addition, export sales were 49% above the prior four-week average at 575,000 metric tons. Buyers may have been more aggressive in futures were the weather forecast a bit more threatening. August bean futures 7¼ cents higher, 893.5. Sept beans added 7.5, 888¼. November soybean futures closed at 891, even up 8¼ cents on the day, Ted.
Yes. Okay. A couple things, Davis. One, that weather forecast getting a little bit more questionable further out in time. I think that is a big deal for soybeans. You'll hear more about it later. I will continue to say this throughout the end of the day tomorrow. I don't think we have a bushel to lose in soybeans. So anything that threatens that national average yield, I think is going to be a big deal for soybeans. Also, I've got a lot to talk about as far as exports and what we have on as far as sales for the books for next year. I think there's some very interesting takeaways there too. So we'll talk about that as well.
Hey, Ted, what say we clean up the news here in the beginning of the next segment and run over to Oliver Slope quick. Can you take us over there?
I think that sounds fantastic. Hey, Oliver, how's it going today, buddy?
I'm doing all right, Ted. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, man. It's good to see some green on the board for corn and beans. I guess my question for you, man, is does this keep going or was this just a one-off here today?
Well, we might see a little bit of a continuation in corn. I'm with you on beans. I think the upside in the value in beans is really where it's going to be at, and I'm excited to see that over the next couple of weeks. Hopefully we can see that play out, and I think if the weather does continue to be an issue, we're going to see the funds extend their length a little bit longer. Corn, I'm a little bit more skeptical of on the longer term basis. Maybe we make a run back at the recent highs, but I think you're going to be asking for a lot if you're looking for much more than that. And if we do run back up there, I think you start to motivate producers to get a little bit more active as well. But talking about green on the screen, shocking and happy shock, though, to see the livestock markets really get some ground underneath them. That was really encouraging. A technical breakout, create a little bit of a short squeeze. Hopefully we can get some follow through on that.
Yeah, you know, we got a little bit worried about the hogs there mid-session, but it was actually a pretty good close, don't you think?
It was a heck of a close, and we got out above that gap. That 50-50 to 51-50 was the pocket that we were looking at. We're talking about trying to carve out a near-term low. You want to see consecutive closes above previous support. That's what we got today. Again, need to see follow-through tomorrow to really confirm that.
Wonderful. Thanks, Oliver. That's Oliver Sloop from Blue Line Futures in Chicago. Hey, everybody else, come on back to AgriTalk.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. This is Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge, filling in for Chip Flory here on a Thursday. What a very nice Thursday it is. I'm certainly a little bit happier with today's results than what we had been seeing earlier in the week. But happy Thursday, everybody. You know, we were doing the news and we cut over to Oliver. So we've got a little bit more news to go through. And I certainly don't want to deprive the listeners of Davis Michelson, handsome newsman time. We definitely need to get that in, buddy. So why don't you give us the rest of those news tidbits?
I'll just I'll go real quick here. October cotton 29.6 higher, 29 ticks higher. See, now I can't talk. You put the pressure on and I can't talk. December cotton up 41 points to close at 62.54. On your livestock side, live and feeder cattle futures bellared higher on solid export sales of 27,900 metric tons. That marked a 68% increase from the previous four-week average. August live cattle futures were $1.97.5 higher, 103.27.5. December cattle gained $1.92.5 to 110.10. And look out, August feeders up $3.17.5, 142.60. And rounding out livestock market exuberance, lean hog futures strutted higher as export sales reared 22% from last week. A sharp rise in hams added strength to cutout values yesterday. August hogs were $3.50 higher, $53.65, and December hogs firmed $1.85 to close at $52.85. And Ted, if this continues, we keep getting these higher closes like Oliver was talking about, I am going to have to find some exuberant hog music to play for when they rally.
We can do pork.
We may be
again.
There. We may be there.
You know what you're also going to have to find is maybe some more cold storage out in your garage, right? Because can't let those bacon prices go up without stocking up, everybody. Go out and buy it.
Yeah, I couldn't fit another butt in my deep freeze right now.
Sure you can. You just got to put them in your stomach first, and then you get more butt.
Boston, that is.
Okay. Enough of your pork shenanigans for the day. Well done, buddy. Thanks pork once again for the news.
You pork betcha.
All righty then. Well, so today's guest, we have Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities. Sherman is a broker and a farmer down in, I'd say, South Central Illinois, I think. Is that right? Well, anyways, Sherman, man, how's it going on? How's it going today?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. How about yourself?
No, I'm doing well. Doing well. It's Thursday. For the most part, market's moving in the right direction. I like it.
We had corn up, beans up, and we had some little bit of rain last night. So, you know, life's good, right?
Yeah. So let's get the negative out of the way first. We saw wheat's on a tear. I mean, 70-plus cent rally in the last 12 trading sessions or so. Finally, wheat kind of had a little bit of a setback today. And that comes on a day, as Davis pointed out, where we had a really nice export sales number. What do you think, Sherman? Has this wheat market come to a head at this point?
Oh boy, good question. It kind of acts like it did today. I mean, typically we don't spend a lot of time above that $5.50 to $6 range. Of course, we didn't get to $6, but we got close to $5.50. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a pullback after such a big rally was probably warranted. Probably some spread unwinding going on. Long wheat short corn took place today, and I guess we'll have to see what happens when it comes back. If they want to come back in and buy some more of it. Funds had been short wheat, probably went a little bit flat and then a little bit long. So it's hard to say exactly what position they'd be looking at right now.
Yeah, right. Anytime you test big resistance like that, it's perfectly natural to have a bit of a pullback. But the question is going to be, if we go back and test those highs again, where do we go from there? And I'm with you, man. I am not a buyer of wheat right now. I kind of feel like it may be over extended based on short covering, but we'll see. Now, you mentioned that we had a bit of a reversal of the spreads today where they were selling wheat and buying the corn. Do you think that was the main reason why corn was higher today?
Maybe a little bit. The corn market has known the rain's been on the radar. I mean, crop conditions will probably go up Monday for the most part. I wonder, since wheat had such a big plunge or move higher, if maybe there's some inkling that China may be in for some corn. That would be my guess. I guess I wouldn't be a bit surprised in the next few days that, maybe we see some corn sale to China. And I think maybe that's been part of it. And part of it is, the beans, like you were talking about. I agree with you on the beans. Maybe they could continue to move higher. And,
Sherman.
Corn Sherman. Probably. Sherman. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's hold our bean party till later. I mean, that's going to be our strong finish, okay?
Well, but, I didn't want to get off too much, but you know, reason for corn going up, you know, beans have been going up a little bit. And like I said, I think the funds are really short, some corn. I think with the wheat market rally, they're kind of looking at that and then, you know, thinking, maybe we don't want to be quite so short anymore. So,
yeah. Yes, I definitely agree with that. Now you mentioned that we might be seeing some Chinese buying of corn right here. And you know, just quick math, I've got them in the last 5 days buying roughly 3.5 million metric tons of corn from us. There's been a lot of talk, and we had Karen Braun from Reuters on yesterday talking about TRQs. Basically, they're tariff-free or low-tariff imports that they can import a certain amount of before the tariffs really get very strong or big and sort of in the way, let's say. And you know, China usually imports a fair amount from the Ukraine, usually about 3 million metric tons. So if I do the math, they've got less than, say, 1 million metric tons before they start running into those limits. So I guess my question for you is, how much more corn can China really buy from us?
Well, that is a good question. I don't know if anybody really can say for sure unless they want to move those TRQ, numbers higher to where they could do something with that. I don't know whether that's possible or not. But, you know,
Do you think they would buy above and beyond that just to – I mean, is at some point, well, are their domestic prices high enough that they're just going to buy anyways or fulfilling a trade deal?
Well, I mean, you know, what did I read today? They sold, 4 million metric ton out of the reserve and all of that sold. You know, maybe they were going to, you know, look to replenish some of that. Maybe they might go over and above just to stay with the phase one trade agreement, try to stay in line with that because, you know, they still need to keep buying there if they're going to stay with that agreement. So I think anything is kind of possible with that from that standpoint. So I think that, you know, the funds have justifiably, you know, stopped the selling here after a 30-cent sell-off, at least take a pause in the market and kind of wait and see. I think maybe, you know, when you look at the charts, if you look at the low we made, I mean, we sold off 30 cents, 50% retracement, another, 15 cents back off the low, puts you filling that gap at 343 on the December and a little bit above. So I don't think that was, I don't think that's too much of a stretch to ask for here in the short term anyway.
So how does everything look down? No, go ahead.
I'm just getting ready to say that, you're going to ask me how everything looked down here. Things don't look too bad. I mean, when you look at a drought monitor map, if you look in southeast Illinois, we are one of the three counties or four counties that are a D1 right now. And you would think, boy, things look really horrible. But to be honest, we've caught enough timely rains that crops around here do not look too bad. The early planted corn is pollinated. It's had, it has really good potential in my way things look for us, for corn and beans, early beans as well. So I think the potential is there if we could continue to get some rain. We just cannot get a good soaking rain in this area, but at the same token, we talk about the D1 drought monitor here, but you look at Iowa, you look at the western half of Iowa and right around Des Moines, they're in a little bit worse, more severe drought than we are, but the whole western half of the state of Iowa is in a drought, on the drought monitor map. So I think, that may be part of the reason corn can't sell off completely here yet either. And I think parts of Minnesota are the same way. I think there's some dry areas up there, there's places, maybe it doesn't show up on the drought monitor map, but I think there's some places that are definitely, have been missing some of those rains. So,
Crop Tour sure is going to be interesting again this year, and you are a Crop Tour veteran, so that'll be fun to hear what you have to say when you're out scouting fields. But I guess my question for you is, after the rains that we've seen in the last, three or four days, how badly can we hurt corn yield at this point, even if it does go hot and dry? We had a little bit of a hotter, drier forecast here today, but how bad could it get at this point?
I mean, you know, weather it can definitely play a big part in it going forward here still. I mean, the short term, what I've seen, like for next week, there's supposed to be some pretty good general rains across quite a bit of the Corn Belt. Now, if those would not happen to hit and we continue to, you know, heat things back up, we could, make the average go lower. But right now, it looks like we're on a line for a trend line yield or above in my books.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to disagree with that in my book as well, Sherman. But okay. Well, hey, listen, everybody, we're talking to Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities. We will be back talking about soybeans, maybe a little bit more corn. So come on back to AgriTalk. Pro Farmer Headlines with Davis Michelson. Davis, what's the news that matters most today?
Well, Ted, President Donald Trump reportedly has indicated to aides that he does not want to further escalate tensions with Beijing. China became the first major economy to come out of contraction today as it reported better than expected second quarter GDP growth. That was after a dismal reading for the first quarter. Argentina says it has no plans to raise export taxes on grain. That's according to Ag Minister Luis Basterra, according to Reuters. The consultancy Strategy Grains shaved another 600,000 metric tons off its 2020 soft wheat production forecast for the EU and Britain today, lowering its production forecast to 130.3 million metric tons. And the U.S. ethanol industry has suffered more than $3.4 billion in lost revenues due to the pandemic. That's according to the Renewable Fuels Association. Get details on these stories and much, much more. Go to tryprofarmer.com right now.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
AgriTalk! All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. AgriTalk, this is Ted Seifert of Zahner Ag Hedge coming to you from downtown Chicago, filling in for Chip Flory here on a Thursday. We've been talking to Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities. And yes, I also have a phobia of talking on the radio. Thankfully, I don't even know I'm doing that right now. So that's
so
how we get
like
through that.
So this is like therapy for you, right? Is it therapy?
It's just I'm having a conversation with a couple of my friends is what we're doing.
This is a place of healing, Ted. We're in the
trust
tree.
We're not on radio. I don't
they
know
sure are here to
about.
Heal.
Deny. Okay. Oh, but no, I don't. I'm perfectly comfortable doing this. I kind of enjoy it if you all haven't noticed. So yeah. there you go. Well, Davis,
yes.
You know, it's about that time for a quick market recap, and because you're so darn good at it, I think we need to do that, don't you?
Well, I'm not wild about how this starts, but it gets better as we go on. So stick with me. Planet Earth, September hard red winter wheat fell a dime and three quarters to 448 and three quarters. September soft red softened to 15 and a half cents, 535 and a quarter today. September corn futures were 4 cents higher, 330 and a quarter. December corn, 3.5 cents higher, 337 and one half. August soybean futures, 7 1/4 cents higher, 893 and a half. Novi beans closed at 891 even. That's up 8 1/4 on the day. December cotton gained 41 points to close at 62.54. August live cattle futures were $1.97 1/2 higher at 103.27 1/2. August feeders firmed $3.17 1/2 to 142.60. And even August hogs, 3.50 higher, 53.65. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, Ted. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, buddy. Thank you, Davis. Mm-hmm. And like you said, aside from that first little bit there, that's a lot of good news on a Thursday. So yeehaw.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. So like I've said, we're talking to Sherman Newland from Risk Management Commodities and getting his perspective on the corn market. I want to kind of just finish that off before we get into the soybeans. Sherman, you know, we've talked about corn and, you know, yes, we can have an effect of weather going forward, but maybe not as big of an effect if we were to be hot and dry right now, for example. When guys are looking at marketing for whatever we have left on old crop and what we're looking at for new crop, what are you suggesting here at this point?
Old crop. I mean, if you still got old crop, I mean, if you got it in the bin, that's one thing. If you're paying storage on it, that's completely another thing. I mean, I would be selling it, you know, up here on this 440 area where we got to today. If you got it in a bin, I mean, I don't see basis getting a whole lot better. I think I would be, you know, throwing some orders out there, like we talked about, the 340 area, I'm sorry, 340, 345, just go ahead and get that cleaned up as far as old crop goes. New crop, again, I'm not super bullish corn at the moment. I mean, I'd like to be, but you know, there's going to be a big carryout coming towards us without a big crop reduction in production. So I would like to probably throw some 350 orders out, some 360 orders out, for new crop. Maybe look at using some put options, because if we, you know, get the rain and we get to a 180 plus type yield, right, without China buying or something like that going on, I'm afraid the funds are going to get comfortable being short this market again, and you know, we'd go down check our lows out again, and then maybe we put in some sort of early harvest low in September, late September, and start to come back up out of the lows at that point in time. But it's going to be, you know, largely based on weather. And then, but secondly, you know, will China buy very much more or not? That's the other thing,
right,
going forward. Well, so I think the market can bounce, but I'm not overly exuberant, you know, about our prospects going, you know, making new highs.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of difficult to get excited about the corn market right now when you know the fundamentals and you know the balance sheet and what it looks like. You know, but I would add one more thing to the list of things that could get corn excited, or at the very least cause some short covering in corn. And I would throw soybeans in that mix. And while I do think that the corn soybean spread ratio could go to some really wacky levels because we really need to plant more soybeans next year, I still think, you know, right, if soybeans have a significant, you know, find some strength here at some point, that might spill over to the corn market. And looking at this week, we saw a fairly significant amount of pressure on soybeans on Monday. It looked like this was going to be their chance to really squish this market. But it didn't really end up happening. We found that support on that moving average convergence with the 50 and the 100 day and our trend line support. And we spent Tuesday, Wednesday, and then even more so today really bouncing off that. So what do you see for soybeans? I mean, was that it for now, or what do you think?
I don't know if it's it for now. I mean, I'd like to see if we, you know, the market can continue to go higher. But again, I think it's going to be predicated on whether or not China continues to come in and buy. You know, earlier in the day, the forecasts were showing quite a bit of rain. If you're right, in the forecast later on extended, go back to hot and dry, and it looks like we put some of this yield in, you know, in question. Then I think the market could take out, you know, the 200-day moving average was around 916. And then we got a smaller gap up around 940, 941. I think you're going to have a combination of, you know, more exports to China and, you know, hotter, drier weather forecasts for that type of number to get hit. But it is possible. And, yes, you know, what you said is probably correct. If we do go higher in the bean market like that, I do feel like the funds that are short the corn market will continue to cover, which could push us up into that 350 type or even a little bit higher, you know, zone in this corn market. You know, and the funds are long beans. The flip side, if it would turn off and get wet and, you know, China kind of starts to back away, which it doesn't appear to be right now, but if all that would happen, then, you know, the bean market could go back down and take out some of these moving averages back to the downside. So,
as a
farmer and a producer, I'd be, you know, having orders above the market to, you know, tick off some of these numbers as we get up there to make some sales.
Okay. I seriously always agree with that. I mean, we want to have orders in. We want to have our levels set. Let the market have a chance to come and get us. 100% agree with that. But I look at the soybean balance sheet, and you know, 425 million bush carryover is what the USDA is looking at for next year. I'm not sure. I'm wondering if that number's too high. A lot of that depends on what happens with the yield. So, with that being said, yes, what does soybeans look like down by you?
pretty good. I mean, honestly, we got some early beans planted. We had some beans planted April 16th. We actually were planting beans in the snow our first day that we started planting. And it was like, man, this is crazy. But conditions were good. Yeah. I mean, soil conditions were good, you know, plenty dry. And they look beautiful right now. I think, you know, beans are looking good. If again, they're an August crop and we'll need to get some rain. We just haven't had a lot of it, but they're hanging in there. And if we could continue to get some rain, I think bean yield prospects look pretty good. And that very well could be nationwide as well, too. I mean, we could, instead of looking at a 49, we could be looking at a 50 or 51 at some point. But, you know.
So 50 or 51. Okay, so let's think about that for a minute. At 51, what does that do for our balance sheet? That adds about 90 million bushels in production. Okay, right?
Yes, right.
Okay.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
And 51 would be a record national average yield. I think at one point they had forecasted a 51.6, but I think that ended up being a 50.6 in what, 18-19. So 18, that would be 18, so that'd be a new record national average yield for soybean, which is certainly not out of the question.
Right.
And we add 100 million bushels to the carryover. Let's say that'd be a 525. That's still a relatively tight carryover, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. Especially if you know, China continues to buy beans at a good clip here, you know, and then we got to start watching, you know, South America weather as that goes forward. I mean, obviously they always seem to increase their acres down there, but maybe this is the year that they have a weather problem. And if that would be the case, then yeah, I mean, I think the market could get excited. You know, as China will probably start to buy it again in the fall, which is what they typically do in a normal year. You know, so that pace could get picked up, and, you know, you combine enough of those things together, you could get the bean market excited. And if that would happen, again, I think it would pull your corn market higher, regardless of where we're at on carry out on corn.
And you know, let's... You mentioned that, you know, China could be buying more aggressively if there's problems with South America's next crop. And absolutely, that's obviously the case. But where we stand right now, and not knowing what that South American, let's just say it's going to be a normal crop.
Right.
How do you feel about hitting the USDA's export expectations for 2021 at 2.05 billion bushel, where we stand right now? I mean, we've seen a fair amount of sales on the books already.
I think it's obtainable, you know. I know China's already, you know, pre-bought a lot. But, you know, with their appetite for beans right now, I think that is obtainable at the time. So I think the market will react appropriately, you know, as we go forward to try and get that done.
Okay. Well, it's going to be an interesting marketing year. We're certainly at an interesting time right now with you know, all the weather that we have going on, that's very typical for this time of year. But then we've got all of these daily, it's kind of like Christmas morning every morning, where you come down and you look at, check your email to see right at 8 o'clock if the NASS has sent out these daily sales or not. But yeah, it's, you know, we have some markets right now, Sherman, and that's kind of fun. You can talk about both sides. So, Sherman, hey, listen, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Your insight is always appreciated, both from a producer's perspective and as a market watcher, broker perspective. So you've got the double trouble combination, and thanks for bringing that to the table. Hey, buddy, have a good rest
thanks
of your day. Absolutely. Everybody
thanks
else, come
me.
On back to AgriTalk. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. My name is Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge, coming to you from downtown Chicago, which at the moment is really quite sunny. Yesterday, not so much. But hey, we saw some green and some sunshine on the markets today. Really liked seeing that. You know, we were talking to Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities today. I really like getting his perspective because he's got a couple different views on things, you know, from a producer's perspective, but also as a risk management perspective. And he's just a fun guy. If you ever get a chance to go on crop tour, Sherman is he's been on tour for a couple years now. He's just a He's a fun guy to grab beer with if you're ever out that way. So, yeah. Now, something I want to talk about, and sorry, Davis, but I'm going to kind of use this for a platform here for a moment. And I was kind of leading Sherman this direction at the end of the last segment, talking about soybean exports and what we have on the books right now. I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks and will continue to talk about it because on days like today where we see almost 1 million metric tons get sold to China and unknown, i.e. China, I think this really kind of, there's a point to be proven here that I don't believe the market is really that aware of. So let's say this. As of today's export sales report, so not including the daily sales that we saw across the wire today, we stand for having sales on the books for next year, for the 2021 marketing year, at 8.086 million metric tons. That compares to this same time last year, actually a couple days forward. So July 11th in 2019, for this current marketing year, we had 2.8 million metric tons on the books as far as sales. That is a measly, tiny little number. You can throw out last year because of the trade deal or lack thereof, but that was a bad number last year. That is not a good comparison. The better comparison, in my mind, is July 13th of 2017, because we had a very similar USDA balance sheet for 2017 from a supply and also demand side of things. Well, actually, before I get to that, 2018, we were at 8.866 on July 12th, 2018. So we're a little bit behind that number, but that was a very, very strong number for this time of year. And then again, July 13th, 2017, 5.4. 5.4 is where we were at on July 13th of 2017. These are the commitments that we had for sales for the new crop soybeans. That's significant because if you look at the balance sheet that we had in 2017, we ended up with a total of 2.134 billion bushels in export sales or in overall export demand. Currently, we are above that 5.4 million metric ton number by a fair amount. Again, we're at 88.086 plus, by the way, we had 1 million roughly sold on the daily wire today. So you could argue we're at 9 million metric tons at the moment. So that's a big difference there. Well, currently the USDA has our exports for our next marketing year for 2021 at 2.050. That's almost 100 million bushels of where we were at the same time in 2017. Yet we are over 3 million metric tons above where we were as far as sales or commitments for next year than where we were in 2017. So in my mind, you know, I was asking Sherman, are we on track to hit the USDA's export sales number or export demand number for next year? We are way beyond on track. I feel like the USDA should be somewhat compelled to be looking at revising that number higher. We are on pace to potentially get pretty close to setting a record for exports. I don't think the trade is really looking at the amount of sales that we have on the books for next year. Or if they are, there is concern that things might go awry with the trade deal and that a lot of those are China and China might cancel them. And I can understand that to an extent. But if you look at the carryover that's projected for next year at a 425 million bushel, now that is at trend line yield. That makes that trend line yield very important. We have to hit that trend line yield in order to have a comfortable balance sheet. Because in my book, I think the export number is at least 100 million bushel too light. So that brings that carryover down to a 325 million bushel carryover for new crop soybeans at a trend line yield. What if that comes in just one bushel an acre lower than trend line? Well, all of a sudden that 325 million, that can drop down to a 250 million. Wow. What if we add another 50 million to exports? Then we're at 175 to 200 million bushel carryover. That is dangerously close to pipeline. And I will argue that this soybean market, given everything we know right now, we could be dangerously close to pipeline carryover at the moment, but we are certainly not acting like that yet. I think this is a realizing market, and over time, we will start to figure that out a little bit more. Certainly, if you throw any sort of weather scenario in there, which threatens that trend line yield, then things could get spicy in a hurry. So, yeah, Davis, I told you I had something I had to get off my chest there.
I love it.
There we go.
Fun with Sherman, math, man. Yeah, did I hear Sherman say that I got the sense he wasn't necessarily all that concerned with corn carryover either. Or did I hear that wrong?
Well, see, and that's the thing. I mean, no matter how I do the math, it's really difficult to get corn carryover in a position where it's really very tight. So, yes. That being said, I mean, if I have China coming in here and buying a big amount, and let's say 20 million metric tons, I don't think they'll do that. But that was probably like the high end of the range of what I think they could buy. If they did that, maybe we drop below a 2 billion bushel carryover. And while that's not really very tight, when we were originally thinking 3.4 to 3.6 billion, that is a world of difference, and it's not what we have priced in. So I would see upside potential for corn under that scenario, especially if we start pulling something off the yield. But it's really difficult to get terribly excited about corn. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. And listen, I've got another day with you guys. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow. But what I'm trying to highlight here is that you have a potential powder keg sitting over there at soybeans, and a couple of things have to fall into place to really get us going. But I'm kind of seeing some of those things fall into place. And as Sherman was saying, corn looks really very good. And he was saying his soybeans look very good too, but I've heard so many people talk about how good the corn looks. Not very many talking about how great the soybeans look. I did a tour of Northern Illinois a few days ago. Beans look small. Canopy's not there yet. We could get to trend line, but it might be a struggle. Anyways, guys, it's been a great show. Thanks for Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities for coming on the show. Tomorrow on AgriTalk, you've got John Harith and his Friday free-for-all. That's always a whole lot of fun. I'll be having Brian Split on the air. We should have a whole lot of fun with that for Friday. Semper Fi,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, thanks for tuning into AgriTalk. I hope you guys have enjoyed my little guest stint here. I certainly have.
Another great show. Better. Well done, Ted.
Yeah,
well done.
Man, feels good. I really enjoy doing it. So thanks for having me on.
Why don't you jump on the team and come on in for the big win?
Yes! Fantastic.